season.
Yep, end of season four. Already an end of the year.
End of the year. Yes, Merry Christmas and a happy end of year to all of you Two Flat White podcast listeners. Welcome to episode 30.
The big 30. I don't know what else to say about it.
We are dressed today appropriately in Christmas attire. Apparently I don't look dumb, but I think I might.
I never said that.
What?
I never said that. I just said it wasn't a problem.
Oh, yeah. You said you do look dumb.
Yeah,
but it's okay.
Thunder.
Great. Well, yeah, you look great.
Please know that nobody said you don't look dumb.
Just so you know, you look like a fucking idiot. What? Don't touch me with them!
I did put a Birkenstocks right near my feet.
God, apparently I put my foot way too close to the other side of the table.
I had my feet tucked in, put them just straight forward into Ladu's.
And then my toes got nabbed. You grabbed my toes with your toes. Yuck.
You know, because I have finger toes, I naturally have a grip reflex.
So do I. Stop that. I've had enough. Enough of this. Stop.
Stop hitting the camera.
Yeah, well, why don't I have any room for my feet?
Seeing your little feet scampering around in panic mode. Okay, I'll keep mine tucked in, okay? Editing you is going to really appreciate this. Like, chop.
Shush! Anyway, yes, so where are we? God.
Who's that wonderful girl? Could she be any cuter?
Who's that wonderful girl? I need to pee.
Just started.
I'm pregnant!
What?
So, I'm sick of this intro. Let's go into the episode because I've had enough. We can't get anything right. Anyway, we've got some Christmas-themed segments for you today that we're going to get to. So, yeah.
My miserable moment. Let's go. Ugh.
It's my miserable moment.
Moments of misery to
commiserate.
Yes.
On /my maternity moment.
Yes. What is it this week?
What is it this week? Oh, yeah. My God.
Both?
Both? Yeah, a little bit.
Miserable
a little
maternity
bit.
Or?
Well, okay, two things. I had coffee with an old friend of mine, and it's Ben. Shout out to Ben. He's a listener of the pod. And we went to high school together and we caught up for coffee for the first time in like years and we're having a chat, a really good chat. We have like good deep chats, you know, about, you know, the world and existentialism and things like that.
So
coming
he's on our level.
He's certainly on the same plane as us.
Which is why I enjoyed the pod.
Yeah. And he said something to me that really made me laugh, and because I was talking about being pregnant and he said, kind of must feel a bit fucked up being pregnant and then also having feelings of like, I don't exist. And I was like, yeah, it's been a bit weird. Like,
yeah,
because I have so many moments where I'm like, you know, you're like, is this a simulation? Is life real? Am I going to wake up? Is this a dream? Is this like just all an illusion? But you're like, well, now I'm pregnant. And bringing new life into the world. And it's like, if this is a simulation, this is absurd.
Bringing a new program into the simulation.
Brand new program incoming. Mm. But anyway, I thought that was really funny. And I've been thinking about it ever since he said it. And I'm
so he broke you.
Right. And yes.
Thanks, Ben.
Broke me in two. And I was like, well, you're right. I should stop thinking like this. But I can't.
Good.
The second thing I have to do today is read you this book, a bit of this book.
This whole book.
I shall be reading a novel, start to end. We will be
stem
here for approximately 5 hours. So my auntie loves op shopping, and she picked up this book for Nick. It's called Blokes and Babies. And the front cover is of this man, and he's cradling an AFL football like it's a baby. And, yeah, it's called Blokes and Babies, Tips and Tactics for Surviving Pregnancy and the First 12 Months.
For boys to survive pregnancy?
I literally read the title and I said, this has got to go in the bin. And she was like, oh, and I don't know. I've read a bit of it just out of curiosity because I read a couple of – I read the blurb. The next thing I read was the blurb and it just got even worse. And then I just thought, I have to dive into this and read some.
We're going to have a whole spring off podcast and it's just reading this book chapter by chapter.
This is so bad.
I'm really keen to hear it.
And
now,
I can't work out whether it's satire or not and just a bit of a joke.
Yeah.
But even if it is a joke, it's just not funny.
Yeah.
It is like full of toxic masculinity. And I'll read the, it's by a man called Brad Story. Good on you, Brad Story.
Thanks, Brad.
I'm going to read you the blurb just as a starting point.
Yes, warm me up.
When first-time fatherhood is looming, men often don't know what awaits them. There are plenty of chick books talking about wombs and amniotic fluid, but men need to know about important things. They need advice that's rational, straightforward, and useful, like when the kid's born, how long till you can have sex again? How exactly do you spot a man pram?
What?
What do morning sickness and a hangover have in common? Mm-hmm. A humorous but helpful guide for all expectant fathers, Blokes and Babies, Tips and Tactics for Surviving Pregnancy in the First 12 Months demonstrates how to be a sensitive, caring dad while maintaining a blokey, rugged exterior for your mates.
Nick needs this.
So many things to unpack. Brad's story offers practical advice, hilarious anecdotes, and answers to questions new fathers and fathers-to-be have been afraid to ask.
Brad's wife hates this book.
This is fucked. Like, nah. Ugh.
Look, maybe the info, like, okay, so far it seems really bad. But if it does teach men, like, please don't try and have sex with your wife for 6 weeks or however long and they actually take it on board. Maybe they'll learn something.
Maybe you'll get a little bit more of an idea as to which way this book swings. After I read just a little excerpt. So
here's one you prepared.
This is from chapter one. I just like highlighted some bits to read.
Bless you.
And
your
I was truly shocked when I read this. So where shall I begin? Okay. Don't get me wrong. When it comes to your pregnant partner or wife, it's not that you can't be right. It's just that she can never be wrong. Your role is not to question or debate. Your role is to support. Support is now what you do. That's about as much involvement as your position of drone extends to. Support, however, can be a hell of a lot more difficult than it sounds because it involves second-guessing your partner, and blokes know how dangerous that can be. Just the fact that he's referring to men as blokes is just so ick. You see, along with her all-knowing hormones comes the added ability to effortlessly make you feel as totally useless as possible. This is because despite your best efforts and intentions, you will never give enough support or the correct support. This is because no one knows for sure at any given moment exactly what kind of support you're supposed to give. It's totally up to the individual, not you, her. And this is one of life's challenges for we drones. He's really leaning into this drone thing.
Did he start with a bee analogy or did he just start saying drone at one point?
And then this last part here, he goes, it's the kind of experience that scares men into believing if women held the seats of power, there would be no more war. Everyone would meet to share their feelings, have a cry, eat a bucket of ice cream, then go away. And instead of shooting each other, have a bloody good bitch instead. It's just sexist as fuck.
Mm. I also feel like we probably wouldn't have wars so much if women were in charge, to be fair. Do you see Jacinta Ardern launching any ships? No. Do you see that 34-year-old Prime Minister of Finland launching any ships?
No. It's funny because it's, you know, it's incredibly sexist and it's like basically just putting down women and belittling them and making it out that it's just like they abuse their power when they're pregnant.
Mm. Yeah, this is going to be really helpful.
Yeah.
I wonder if it has horrible reviews. Can I look?
It has fuck all reviews. Huh? I've managed to find one website which has two reviews, and they're 2.5 out of 5.
Okay. That's all right.
I don't think it was very popular. I think it deserves to not exist. It was printed in, I think, 2005.
Right. Not available on Amazon, but it's listed.
No, it's not available anywhere, nor should it be.
The Women's Council banned it.
It's just, and I'm like, even if you read this as a joke, it's not funny.
Yeah. And you would assume that if he's writing this book, he's had babies.
He wrote it while his wife was pregnant.
Great.
Or hang on, he wrote it. It says, this book came about due to a forced retrenchment 3 weeks after the birth of my child. And I think he also dedicates it to his wife, which is frightening. Because I can't imagine seeing all of this written about me by my husband.
Yeah.
And having it then published to the world. And, like, I know 2005 was a bit of a time ago. Like, things have changed. And what is socially acceptable.
His child's an adult now.
But I just fear for how many men read this book and took it seriously.
Yeah. Took it on board.
I was going to donate this book to the op shop and I was like, no. It can't go back to an op shop.
Dispose of it. You don't want to finish reading it?
I can't get any further in than that.
Okay, fair.
Saying it's like, he's basically saying women being the center of attention while they're pregnant and being like, I guess, glorified as doing such an amazing thing, which you are doing a fucking amazing thing. It's like it makes women think they're too important and too smart. Like, you don't want them thinking they're smart.
This pregnancy has really given my wife some self-confidence, and I didn't like it.
Goodbye. That's all. And
bye, Brad.
That is my maternity / miserable moment.
Beautiful.
And no, Nick will not be reading it. I've read more of it than him.
Oh, God, where did it go? And Nick's like,
Nick's like, it's my new Bible.
Mm.
Anyway, what's your miserable moment?
The only thing that I've got is going to be nice, short and sweet. My roof's leaking again. Today's a horrible rainy day and the roof is leaking again, so I just left a towel under it.
So
it's just
is ours. Oh,
like
inside.
Crazy. Inside.
Where?
Above in the corner.
Whereabouts? Sorry, I burped.
Babe, no, please. We're having a conversation. In the corner of the kitchen next to the kitchen sink. It's not the worst, because at least it's waterproof there.
I was going to say it's going onto the bench top at least.
Yeah, so it's like, but yeah.
Did they not fix it, the roof people?
Well, the only person who's gotten back to us was the person who quoted us $6,000.
Oh.
So
I'll send you my roof guy.
Please
I just
do.
Sent him to mum.
Oh, very good. Yes.
He's a very nice man.
Excellent.
His name is
I'll
Dave.
I'll take him. I'll take Dave. Yeah. I texted our builder who did our renos. I'm like, hey, do you have anyone? He hasn't replied yet, but I'll just take Dave. That's it.
So shit. Roofs leaking is so stressful. Our roof leaks every couple of months in a different area because we have possums that just scramble along the roof and
so
fuck
annoying.
It all up.
Don't get roof tiles if you have an option. Bad idea.
Yeah, if you're redoing your roof, don't do tiles.
Yeah.
Just color bond that shit.
Mm-hmm.
Something else that I forgot to plug like 3 weeks ago.
Yeah.
That's not miserable, but my band, The Playbook, released new music and we've decided the band is dead also. So it's our last music that
post-mortem
we'll ever
release. Music.
Post-mortem music, yes. So it's the last music we'll ever release. It's a double A-side, so two songs. And, yeah, you can go check it out on Instagram. We are The Playbook Oz. And
AUS or OZ?
It's The Playbook AUS, The Playbook Oz. But you can just search us on Spotify or Apple Music as The Playbook and you'll find us.
What about YouTube Music?
The new release is called Epilogue and that's where you'll find us. But, yeah, if you haven't heard our music, check it out. And that's it. It's on all music platforms. Sorry. Yes. Everything. Anywhere you listen, it's there.
Good.
Yeah. All right. Let's move on.
Time for the top favorite Reddit reacts.
Christmas edition.
Christmas edition.
Now, we did this last year and we had quite a few miserable Christmas ones.
Yes.
We've just got one Christmas Reddit each for so y'all and
better
us
be good, y'all.
To react to.
Yeah.
Do you want to go first?
I'll go first. All right. Mine's called Cousin's Gift ruined Christmas and possibly my relationship. I come from a big family. Our holidays involve extended family like second cousins, etc. My fiancé and I are in our mid-20s and there are a lot of cousins in their mid-20s and 30s. Last night, we had a big Christmas party. It was fun to see everyone until it came time to exchange presents. My cousin Anna, not her real name.
Bloody Anna.
Fucking Anna. Always the Annas. Hands out pink envelopes to all of the 20s and 30s men who have married slash dated into the family. Okay.
Oh.
Just the men who have married and dated.
Yes, yeah, so
okay.
Not-
just all the male in-laws in their 20s and 30s. Okay. My fiancé received one and quickly put it in his pocket after opening it. I was distracted opening my gifts and didn't ask to look at it. About 20 minutes later, my cousin Rachel, again not her real name, pulled me aside and says Anna is giving out cards with instructions on how to get a discount subscription to her OnlyFans. Rachel's BF got one of the pink cards and showed Rachel because he was weirded out. This is not where I saw this going. I didn't read this beforehand, guys. I just read the title. I'm pissed at this point. Because I suspect my fiancé's card also has an OnlyFans discount, so I asked to talk with him and he denies getting a card from Anna. I tell him...
Her fiancé denies
Fiancé denies getting a card. Even though she saw him get the card, just didn't see him tuck it away.
Oh, that's so bad. He's denied it, he's which denying means he wants to look.
Just memorize the discount, dude. Anyway, I tell him, I saw her hand you one and I watched you put it in your pocket. I go to grab his pocket and he suddenly remembers getting a card and claims he didn't open it. I take it from him and of course it's already opened and of course it's about fucking OnlyFans. I go back inside to confront Anna and find out she's already arguing with a different cousin who is upset because her husband has already tried looking at Anna's page. Anna claims she's just trying to get her business off the ground and no one appreciates all the hard work and skill it takes to be successful as a digital career. She says her gift is not sexual, it's just marketing. It's both.
Yep, it's both.
Some of the older relatives, aunts and uncles, are starting to take sides too, but they're mostly really confused about what's going on.
Yeah.
Anna's mum, I was wondering what was happening with Anna's parents. Anna's mum starts crying because of something I said, and my mum tried to get me to apologize, which pissed me off more.
What?
At this point, I leave with my brother and his husband because I don't want to spend the night with my fiance at home. I wonder if the husband of her brother got a card. And I don't feel like going with parents when my mum is pressuring me to apologize. Oh, and surprise, surprise, Anna didn't give my brother's husband a card. So make of that what you will about the intent behind the gift. Well, yeah. I'm seriously considering calling off the engagement over this, and I'm pissed at my cousin for ruining both Christmas and my relationship. Okay.
There's so many levels to this. That is so wrong.
That is a fucking... oof. Okay. To be fair, it's fucked. Giving out an OnlyFans thing to your family, fucked. Family's partners, fucked.
Yep.
My thought is, when she says, my cousin's ruined my relationship, I would argue if this is the kind of person that you're... fiance is, she's just let you know that this is the kind of 100%, person that he is. So 100%. She's probably done you a favor in that department.
He's a dishonest person.
Yeah. This hasn't suddenly changed him and he was an honest person before this. Like,
no, it's awful that they're engaged and she's figured this out.
Yes.
Like,
yeah.
I would, I'd just be like, run for the hills. My love, like,
my love.
Run for the hills. Leave this man.
Yeah, leave that man. Leave your cousin. Let him go create OnlyFans content
with her. It's so inappropriate. I understand, like, I don't have an issue with people being sex workers, having online careers. If you make your money on OnlyFans, great. Good for you. But read the room.
Yeah.
Don't send the link with a discount code as a gift to men that are your family members' partners.
Yes.
Other people's partners and husbands. Like, that is just so...
And especially not at a Christmas gathering?
That just has no... That is... She just has no grip on reality.
Mm.
That is so bad on so many levels. It's so inappropriate. You it don't is. Do that.
No, you don't. Yeah, I concur. It's like...
You want marketing? Like, do it on social media. Go pay for a fucking Facebook ad or something or an Instagram
ad. Add all these people on your Instagram account and then put a link on your Instagram and then it's up to them. if you're going to do it. But, like, why do you... I mean, I guess it doesn't matter because, like, if you have an OnlyFans, you don't care who looks at it. But it just seems weird that everyone in your family would have seen your OnlyFans. Like, let's spread it to the whole extended family.
Then I thought, oh, maybe she should have just, you know... Because if she's struggling and she really wants to make this into her career, should she have, like, spoken to all of the women whose partners she wanted to give the card to and be like, hey, guys, I'm really trying to grow my business. Would you be opposed to me sharing my discount code link with your partners? But it's still not fine.
Yeah, she wouldn't have done that because she would have known the answer would have been no.
Exactly, because the answer is just always going to be no. And it's just – it's weird wanting to – I can't even imagine if I was in this position and giving my link and wanting, like, Nick's brother or something to watch it. Like, no!
Yeah, that's the thing. And it's like, even if for this situation, if I was dating someone, if someone was my fiancé and they wanted to watch porn, I'd be like, don't give a shit. If they wanted to watch my cousin's porn, I'd have an issue with it.
Different if it's anyone's porn that you know. Yeah. Anyone's porn that you know is sort of not okay.
Yeah.
It's kind of bridging some sort of weird gap because it's like what happens when you see that person the next time? She's going to know, oh, my husband's been watching her porn and he gets off on her sex content. And is
sex content. Yeah.
And like... Yeah. What about me?
What about me?
Because I guess the thing about porn is that it's kind of removed from reality in a way. Like when you're watching it, it's like, you know, this is a fantasy. This is a random person that you don't know that you're never going to meet. And if your partner was watching it, it's like, well, okay, it's just a random person. It becomes something entirely different when it's content of someone you know, like they may as well have just sent you the video themselves.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Mm.
It just doesn't feel right.
No. And then it's like, which you could argue is just like your own insecurities, but you'd probably be much more likely to compare yourself to your cousin or like a friend that you know.
Than some random on the internet.
Than some random on the internet, some hypothetical woman or man, whatever the situation is. Anyway, I think we're in agreement. Don't give your OnlyFans link to your relatives at Christmas.
Don't do it.
Ding, ding, ding. Hey, boys. Hey, girls, if you're new to this. Speaking of gifts, have you had one of these before, Ladu? I don't know if you've had this
present.
Before, but yes. Have you ever had a gift?
I've never had a gift.
Well, welcome to Christmas. Gift? I did. It's not an expensive gift. Don't be too impressed.
Good, because I gave you nothing.
Good. That's how I like it.
You even wrapped it. That's really good. Yes, I have had this before.
I checked out your sink the other week. I was like, she's got her regular one in
here. It's a scrub mummy, which is like a scrub daddy
scrub
sponge. Sponge that is in the shape of a cat.
Yes.
So cute. Yes, this was actually
should be scrub kitty.
My sister bought it for me like earlier this year, and it was the first scrub daddy I've ever had.
Ah.
Far out, they're good. Highly recommend if you've never had a scrub mummy or scrub daddy, they're the bomb.
I bought myself a dog one, but I actually haven't opened it yet. It's just sitting in the kitchen.
They're so good.
The drawer.
They go hard in cold water and soft in warm water.
Yeah.
They're just so good.
Yeah, and you can clean the forks in its mouth.
Yep. I don't really use that function. It's kind of annoying.
Okay.
Because you end up stabbing the sponge accidentally and it just ruins it.
Ah, there you go. Good to know.
Yeah, I need to take
And also, you'd be stabbing a kitty in the mouth.
Yeah, it's a bit weird. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Thank you so much. Well, Christmas came early.
Yes, first gift. It's time for you to do a Reddit.
Yes, my turn.
Today's most eligible bachelorettes, and here they are.
Okay, so my Reddit, I got off a thread called Share Your Crappiest Christmas Stories.
Love it.
It's pretty short and sweet. It's sort of on the same vein as yours.
Great.
Okay. My favorite crappy Christmas story of all time was when my ex had been on an oil painting course, so I bought her all the gear for Christmas. Easel, oil paints, fine art brushes, the lot. And that shit ain't cheap either. I'd bought it over several months and got her the best of everything. Brilliant present, or so I thought. Cut to Christmas Day and the big present opening. She opens all this stuff, bursts into tears, runs out of our flat and gets in the car and drives away. And drives off, nearly crashing said car into the neighbor's wall. It took me 8 hours to track her down and find out what the fuck had just happened. Turns out she hadn't been on an oil painting course at all. She'd been fucking some married bloke every Wednesday in a hotel down the road. Merry fucking Christmas to me.
So she's like, I can't show you my skills. I have none.
She's like, what the hell am I going to do? I'm going to have to start painting and it'll be like stick figures.
Oh, God. It's like, wow, you've really learned nothing. And the husband would have to be like, wow, look at those courses. I've really done a lot of things. Wow. Well, sucks to suck.
That just sucks so much. And he'd gone to all that effort over months to buy like really like proper stuff to be like.
I wonder if he was in with the return window for any of it.
True, because he'd bought it so long ago.
Yeah, he organized himself.
I wonder if he went back and be like, hi, I thought my wife was really liked oil painting, but turns out she was having an affair.
If somebody came in with that story, I would be like, I don't care if you're lying. Like, that's a good story. I'm going to give you a refund if it was within
this
my power.
Poor guy.
Yeah.
Every Wednesday in a hotel down the road. And then finding out, like, it all just unraveled. Really it was. Never would have unraveled if he didn't buy her the gift.
Yeah.
He would have been unbeknownst.
Yes, just like the cousin doing her cousin a favor of revealing the truth. The
yes,
oil painting implements
mm-hmm.
revealed the truth and did him a favor.
All will be revealed.
Yep.
Well, that just sucks.
See.
See. Once again, Reddit delivering the loveliest of stories for
quality
us.
Quality content.
Quality, reveling in other people's misery.
Thanks, America.
Oh, my gosh.
Goodbye.
Goodbye.
All right.
Yeah, get down to fiddling. Oh, sorry, were you starting?
Ding, 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 diddling, ding, 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 ding.
Yes, you be the banjo, I'll be singing. Ding, 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 ding. I wish I knew the words.
I'm doing a different song.
Die in the kitchen with your mother on the floor. That can't be right.
Surely not. What's Mildew doing on the floor?
Always on the floor.
Fall to the floor, Miller was sure.
Anyway, it is... it's...
10 Min D&M.
That's the one. Today we're talking about wild baby facts because babies are on the mind, babies are on the brain.
Babies in the wild.
So we thought we'd share with you guys some strange and crazy facts about babies that you might not know.
Hmm.
Speaking of which, my Christmas top that I'm wearing just fits over my tum.
It's the last time you'll wear it.
I think it will be one of the last. Like, I don't think I'll make it through Christmas.
I don't think so.
I'm not going to make it to Christmas. My favorite top. Sad.
Yeah,
anyway,
so you just have to wear it next Christmas.
Next Christmas, when I'm not a balloon person.
Unless you are.
Unless I am. All right, I'm going to go first. Are you
off
actually
you go, then.
Timing us?
Putting a timer on. We won't stick to it.
Oh,
but I'm doing
God,
it.
God, you haven't timed anything in years.
Yes. Two episodes.
All right.
Wasting time.
Shush. The first thing I'm going to talk about is babies' bone count. So if you weren't aware, are you aware about babies' bones?
I am.
You are aware. Well, that's...
Sorry.
There. You'll probably be aware about most of this because you like science. So... babies are not born with the same amount of bones as the rest of us. They are born with around 270 to 300 bones at birth. And by the time a person reaches their 20s, they'll have around 206 bones. So 206 is what the average human adult has in terms of number of bones. So during pregnancy, the skeletal structure starts out as cartilage. So it's not even bone. It's all just soft cartilage.
Like a shark.
Like a shark. Really?
I think most of shark is cartilage as opposed
really?
To bones. Yeah.
Ah. Hmm. So we have cartilage in our bones also, but it's mostly at the ends of our bones. Yep. Do I have something on my nose?
No, that's cartilage.
Oh, right.
You know when you see a skull doesn't have this bit?
Yes. Hmm. Yes. Yes, we normally have it at the ends of all our bones, near all of our joints, because it helps our... bones move nicely together. Anyway, so yes, all starts off as cartilage, a firm tissue that's softer and more flexible than bone. It enables a baby to fit through the birth canal and allows for growth once they arrive. As they absorb more calcium during pregnancy and beyond.
As they sap the calcium from your bones.
As they slap me silly and sap the calcium from my bones, the cartilage gradually ossifies to become hard bone around the time they're about 2 or 3 years old. Some of the bones actually start to fuse together. So you don't just like lose bones, but they all start to like combine basically. And the process isn't fully complete until you're an adult. And you don't grow anymore and you finish growing. One example of a bone that babies are not born with at all is the kneecap or patella. So the kneecap actually starts out as cartilage and many bones and then significantly hardens into bone between the ages of 2 and 6 years old. In most cases, several areas of cartilage in the knee begin to harden at the same time and eventually fuse together to form one solid bone.
And that's because they crawl, right?
I think when they start crawling,
it's like the kneecaps are the bits that are like, ah.
Yeah, it's like imagine crawling on cartilage.
Nicer. Softer.
It would be softer. But yeah, crazy. I didn't realize that babies are born with 300 bones.
Yes.
That's so many bones.
Does Babe Mo have all his bones?
I believe so, yes. He's got all of his bones.
Nice.
It's so weird looking at it. I'm full of bones. Well, currently, right now, I have about 500 bones in your body. In myself.
Yes.
Wow. That's so weird.
Daddy, you've got more bones than a graveyard.
I'm going to go around being like, hello, hello, postman. Guess what? I have 500 bones.
Want to make it 501?
Feeling particularly bony today?
Yeah.
Do you have the same postman every day?
I thought you meant as you. I was like, probably not.
Yes, we live like...
Do you have Frank?
Do you get Frank too? He comes about top 30.
I don't know. Yeah. I don't look at the postman straight in the eye.
I don't look at postmen. They're trash.
No, he zooms by on his motorbike, drops the things off and zooms along.
To be fair, they wear helmets, so it's hard to tell.
Once a postman has given me my letters in my hand. So
when you've been out there?
Yeah,
me
just happened
too.
To
I
be
love
there.
That.
Yeah, me too.
Sometimes, like, I take the cats out for their little playtime outside and it's around the time the post arrives and I sort of stand there hoping that he'll come so that I can receive my mail.
When the post arrives. You British now.
Yes. Yes. Anyway, go. New fact.
Well, I'm glad you started with that because that actually rolls in really well to mine.
Yeah.
Joins in very well. So I'm going to talk about fontanelles.
Fontanelle. Sounds like a dessert.
At first, I was like, that sounds wrong. Fontanelle. No, it is fontanelle. Yes. Have you heard of the fontanelle?
Yes.
Fontanelles?
Yes.
Okay, great. So these have always freaked me out a little bit because someone once described it to me as a built-in self-destruct button for babies.
Oh, my God.
I was like, whoa.
It's on the heads, right?
Yeah. So if you ever gently touch the top of a baby's head, you may have noticed a little like soft patch, like a little dip. A little dip. Okay, so this little gap is because babies' skulls are actually made up of plates, which are joined by fibrous joints called sutures. So it's not like one solid skull yet, which is pretty much what you were talking about. Like, just like a lot of other bones in their bodies, not the skull isn't fused together yet.
Oh, so it's made up. The skull is also not one bone. The skull is multiple bits that are just sort of hanging around.
Mm. So if you look at like an adult skull, you can see those like lines in it. I think that's where like the plates are fused. You can even like feel own if you feel hard enough. You can feel little gappies.
No, I have a nice smooth skull. Hang on, isn't it?
Maybe.
Smooth skull?
Smooth skull.
Isn't that a thing?
Smooth brain would be stupid people.
That's what I'm thinking.
Think of a
That's
smooth
what
brain.
I'm thinking.
Brain without ridges, I mean, you wouldn't have as much, not nearly as much surface area, so you'd be.
That makes more sense. Simple. It's not actually one solid skull. So it's like when you're giving birth, like it means the head can just squish out. When I was born, my head was totally lopsided.
There you go, because your skull wasn't.
I had a hematoma, and I also. My skull was all funny shaped, but so many babies come out with funny shaped head. Now it's just, I mean, wouldn't go as far as say perfect, but it's pretty fucking nice.
Have you heard, I don't know if this is fact or fiction, but like if you leave a baby on the wrong like wrong position for too long, pretty much their head ends up like becoming that shape because.
Well, there are some people with really flat heads at the back, yes, and it's like I've got they've been flat left
patch here, but not a
left on their
one.
Backs too much.
Yeah, probably. Tummy time's important.
Tummy time's important.
Yeah, well, pretty much. These sutures are useful because it gives the skull a bit of flexibility as the baby is coming out the birth canal.
Right.
And it allows the head to grow quite quickly in the first couple of years. So fontanelles are the skin-covered gaps between the plates, right? So there's actually two of them, which I didn't realize. So there's an anterior one, which is the one that most people feel, but there's also a posterior one as well at the back of the head. It's a little bit smaller though. So, and I was like, it's I'm going to check this.
Don't push it. On your nephew, I assume.
Yes, my fresh nephew. I was like, I'm going
to
check this.
It's like
point.
A portal to the brain. Yeah, the much. Portal is
just an open door. Love is an open door. My brother listening to this podcast, like, do not touch my baby. I thought you'd like this quote from the website.
Yes.
If you softly touch a fontanelle, you may at times feel a slight pulsation.
Of the brain?
Of all.
I'm just confused. What's going on? Why would I like that quote? I'm confused.
Just a regular pulse, like a, like if you're taking a pulse, you can get the pulse, like a blood pulse, not a brain pulse. I just thought it sounded gross, so you wouldn't like it.
It does sound very gross. A pulse in your skull? I thought you meant like you can feel the brain moving.
Well, okay. My next little note that I had, not that I should have to say this, but sometimes I feel like I do have to say this. Please be very gentle if you're going to go anywhere near a baby's fontanelle.
Yes.
If you're not sure you can be gentle, don't touch the baby's head. Okay? Leave it alone. If they appear sunken, your baby might be dehydrated. If you notice anything weird about your baby's fontanelle, get it checked out by a doctor or midwife.
There you go.
There you go.
So if you touch the fontanelle, it can be detrimental to the baby's brain.
Well, there's like it's a gap, so they don't have like the proper bone there to protect the brain. So
yeah.
Don't push hard on it, essentially.
Yeah, wow. Yeah. That's so scary. I'm going to be so
I know.
Aware.
It's always freaked me out because like, you want to like kind of stroke the little soft hair.
Yeah.
But then you're like,
so when does it bit. Close?
I must have skipped over that. The anterior one. Okay, the anterior fontanelle will close anytime between 4 to 26 months.
Wow.
So it's there for a lot longer. Yeah.
That's 2 years.
Yeah, it could get past 2 years.
No. Do your doctors surely will be like, how's the fontanelle closing going?
Fontanelle. I think it's pretty rare to get it up to 26 months.
Yeah,
I
right.
I don't remember my niece having a fontanelle that long, but I could be wrong.
Hmm. Okay, my next fact. Newborns.
New toboggans.
New toboggans. If you buy a new toboggan.
We're already at 10 minutes.
I know. I told you it's not going to work. My next fact is newborns don't have tears.
Lies.
It's not lies.
Okay.
And I've never realized this, but when newborn babies cry, there are no tears.
They're faking it.
Mm. So up until about 1 to 3 months old, crying consists of mainly red-faced wailing.
Yeah, okay.
There's no tears because their tear ducts, actually it's not the tear ducts, but the lacrimal glands of the eye, which is what make your tears, they're like small almond-shaped organs that sit underneath the top eyelid above the eyeball, and they're responsible for tear production, not actually your tear gland, not your tear ducts.
Right.
Yes, it's a popular.
Do the ducts just carry them?
Yeah, so it's a popular misconception that your ducts make tears, but the lacrimal glands basically send the tears to the ducts, and the deposit the tears into the face,
the
eyeballs.
I didn't know about that. You've taught me a science thing.
Yeah. So the tears flow over the eye and then drain into the tear ducts. Although babies do make some tears at birth, they don't make enough to be seen as tears when crying. And it's very uncommon for newborns to cry tears because those glands, those lacrimal glands, haven't fully developed yet.
Yeah, right.
So normally it's about between 1 and 3 months. Some babies start producing tears at like 2 weeks, but it's normally around, 1 month, 2 months.
Yeah. Oh, cute.
It's just crazy.
Mm.
You just assume when everyone cries, they'll have tears, but not babies.
They're just like, meh.
Yeah. They're just
dry
screaming
eyes.
At you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, what else do they do?
Perfect. Can't wait.
All right. My next one. Taste buds. Okay. So babies' taste buds develop in the womb, which enables them to try out some of the food that their mum eats as food molecules make their way into the amniotic fluid.
Yes, Babe Mo has some.
Yes.
He can now
taste. He's been tasting that chocolate.
Yes. As of like, I think 21 weeks or something, they can start to taste the food that you're eating because it changes the flavor of the amniotic fluid.
Yeah, how crazy is that?
So crazy.
So weird. This is when they might start to develop taste preferences. So give them a variety, Ladu.
It's just all potatoes and bread right now.
Great.
So problem child on the way.
Picky boy. So babies have around 10,000 taste buds, whereas adults have about 5,000. But to be fair,
they have more.
Yeah, babies have more than adults do. But this is where I couldn't get a consistent answer because I looked at about 5 different websites and they all seem to have different things listed.
Right.
So another one said that babies have 30,000 taste buds and adults have 10,000. And a few places said adults have half the amount and a few places said adults have a third of the amount. So can't get a consistent answer here.
They have less.
But yes.
Sorry, we have less.
We have less. We have babies, maybe half what babies do.
Okay.
So our taste buds are constantly getting replaced, but less of them get replaced as we get older. And babies and children often have a greater proportion of taste buds that detect sweeter foods, which was probably an evolutionary benefit because sweeter foods were higher in calories, so keeping the children alive.
Right.
So babies tend to prefer food they're exposed to in the womb and during breastfeeding, but they also lean toward liking foods that they're exposed to more often, which also makes sense.
Yeah.
So apparently the average lifespan of a taste bud is estimated to be 10 days.
I thought you were about to say lifespan of a baby. I was like, what? Whoa. How did we get here?
Yeah.
The average lifespan of a taste bud.
Yep. 10 days. So they get replaced pretty frequently.
For a baby or for everybody?
For everybody, apparently.
I did not know that our taste buds died.
Well, I think like most like cells get replaced a lot, right? We've figured out that it's not 98% every 7 years, but pretty frequently. And I think something like your mouth, like the cells in your stomach get replaced really frequently because of all that acid.
Oh, yeah, and same with your mouth because it heals so quickly.
Yeah,
your mouth heals like one of the quickest places in the whole... It's the quickest place to heal the whole body, isn't it?
I think so. I'm not 100%, but I'm pretty sure it is.
I'm pretty sure.
Yeah.
So, okay, so let me get this straight. So when you're a baby to the time you're an adult, from baby to when you reach adulthood, your taste bud count potentially halves.
Yeah.
And then from adult onwards, this slowly just decrease until you become...
Well, I think it slows down into adulthood and then stays about the same, I would say.
But you said that they die off as we get older.
As you mature to adulthood, your taste buds don't get replaced as much as what babies do. As in, like, not all of them get replaced.
Huh. Interesting. Okay. Well, I'm going to talk about the blue eyes myth. I feel like I hear this all the time. Everyone always tells me, especially because I'm pregnant, that all babies are born with blue eyes. Well, that most babies are born with blue eyes and then they'll become something different later.
Yeah.
That is not true.
Really?
Most babies worldwide. Pardon?
I thought that was true.
It's not. More newborns have brown eyes than blue.
Interesting.
But it is true that if you are born with blue eyes, that they will most likely change.
Okay.
That's the difference.
Yeah.
A 2016 Stanford University study involving 192 newborns found that nearly 2/3 of them were born with brown eyes, while only about 1 in 5 babies had blue eyes. Most of these babies were Caucasian, the ones that had blue eyes. So what gives the eye its color? So the iris... that gives the iris its color is a natural pigment called melanin, a protein secreted by special cells called melanocytes. Interesting word. Melanocytes. Blue eyes mean there is little melanin in the iris. So melanocytes respond to light, and since newborns have spent the last several months in total darkness, there wasn't much light to trigger melanin production in the irises, although ethnicity also comes into play. So some babies will produce more melanin than other babies, and that's how you get babies that are born with brown eyes or different coloured eyes. So if a baby's melanocytes don't secrete much more melanin in the months and years ahead of their birth, then their eyes will stay blue. If a little more melanin makes its way into the iris, their eyes will look green or hazel, and a lot more melanin means brown eyes. Many babies of non-Caucasian descent, though, this can be true for any ethnicity, melanocytes don't need the light of day to pump melanin into those developing irises. So, yeah, obviously some ethnicities just you'll genetically be born with brown eyes and you don't require the melanin to change it later. The production of melanin increases mostly during the first year of life. At 6 months of age, a baby's eye color has usually been determined. However, in some cases, a baby's eye color can continue to change after 6 months of age and continue to change up to 3 years.
Sure.
Green eyes can continue to change into hazel. Hazel can continue to change into brown, but brown eyes will not turn into blue eyes.
Yeah, right.
So your eyes can become darker from blue, but they can't reverse. And in some rare cases, some people's eye color can change all the way into adulthood.
Weird fact. Yes. My dad's eyes, as an adult, he always had brown eyes and they changed to green when he was an adult. And I was like, that's not true. Like, at first I didn't believe him. I was like, that doesn't happen, Dad. And he's like, well, they did. He's like, my eyes used to be brown. And I was like, no, they didn't. He's like, yes, they did. And he showed me photos and they were brown. Brown, brown.
What?
Yeah.
So is this just totally debunked or is your father a freak of nature?
Might be a freak of nature.
Were they really brown or just... like,
at least as dark as your eyes, brown.
Really?
Yeah.
Because my eyes are not, like, super dark.
Yeah.
They're, like, orangey brown.
Yeah, it depends on the light. But, yes. Yeah, but they were, like, they look quite dark brown from his photos.
That's so interesting.
And they're fully, like, green now.
Well, you know what's weird, though? When I cry, my eyes tend to go, like, more orange. Like, they get lighter as
I've
cry.
I've heard people say that, yeah.
My mum's eyes are grey. Like,
yeah.
They're not blue, they're grey. And when she gets... upset when she cries, when they she go weeps. Like really blue.
Yeah, right. Is that just because it's shinier?
I don't know.
I don't know. I never cry.
It's something to do with the tears, I think. That can be our next fact.
Blau now.
But yeah, anyway, that's my last fact.
Well, my final fact is also a lie. Something that kept getting perpetuated.
Mythbusters. Look at us. Mythbusters.
Because I was looking at, like, you know, weirdest baby facts. And one of them was that babies can breathe at the same time that they're drinking.
I had that too.
Yeah.
That they can swallow at the same time as they're breathing.
Yeah. And then I was like, how does that work? Because you have this, like, it's all the same fucking hole, you know? You know, like, can you?
Yeah. I read about that
how
too.
How does that work? And then apparently people thought that they could do this for a really long time.
But yeah.
While researching other facts, I found out that no, it is false. They
it
cannot
is.
Do that.
And it's dangerous. I read that it's dangerous because people were like blocking babies' mouths and stuff and being like, oh, it's fine. They can still, or blocking their nose or something in cold climate or something and then feeding them at the same time. It's like they literally can't breathe.
Yeah.
Like,
you're putting food into their only air supply.
And that's why they get really upset when they, if you're breastfeeding or feeding at all, bottle feeding.
Yeah.
And they have a cold, if their nose is blocked, they get significantly stressed. It's because they can't breathe.
Yes, I would get stressed too.
Yeah.
My actual final point was on the first poo that babies do after they're born. And not in here. Sometimes
What's
my
eye cloud
doesn't
again?
Have light. It is cold.
You wrote it down.
Meconium. Meconium. Sounds like
I've heard the first poo is a really bad one.
Yeah. Well, while researching it, I found out that it's just the things that I remember from the top of my head. So after the baby's born, they do this big poo, which is essentially full of like amniotic fluid, like bits of their like little baby hair, all these other things that they've had while in the womb.
Teeth.
if you've been eating teeth. And I've got to taste my teeth, mother. Yes. Oh, well, that's where he's going to get it.
True.
Oh, my God. And, I mean, he is born with those teeth in there that just haven't come down yet.
True.
Hasn't tasted them. Essentially, so it's the first few poos after they're born.
Yeah.
And it's not green. It's kind of like a tar.
Tar
like a,
colour,
it's a dark olive green, apparently, tarry sort of thing. And it's really sticky. But they, as they start having breast milk, it goes a bit yellower and yellower. So, yes. Anyway. And then when meconium also doesn't really smell yet. It's pretty odorless because it looks really gross. Like the pictures on Wikipedia are so gross.
I shan't
if you want to look them up.
No.
Yeah. You'll see it yourself.
I'll have plenty to look at.
Yes, just be shocked. It doesn't smell bad, though. It looks like it would smell horrible, but it doesn't because the baby doesn't have all the bacteria yet, so it just starts getting that as it starts feeding.
Yeah, right. I have a headache from wearing this stupid headband.
Well,
I didn't explain it to anyone that's not listening visually, but I have a headband on that's got Santa popping out with arms on my head.
Yeah.
Anyway, I think it's for a child. It's strangling my fontanelle. No. Maybe I'm going to develop a bloody fontanelle from this thing.
Yeah, maybe. If your skull was still soft, it would just move for it. Now you know how I feel whenever I wear anything on my head.
Oh.
Always a little too tight.
Poor big head Dara.
Yes.
Megamind Dara.
Megamind.
We've come to the end of episode 30 and season 4 and any episode for the rest of the year.
Yep.
We decided to just cut this a bit short, 3 segments, because that 10-minute D&M took 25 minutes.
Yes. Short and sweet.
But, yeah, we hope you've enjoyed this season.
Yes, we've enjoyed this season.
It's been a time. Flown. It has flown. Mm. I feel like you got back from Europe 2 seconds ago.
I know, it's fucked.
My God, the year hath flown.
It hath.
I can't believe I'm 6 months pregnant.
I can't believe in 2 days it's December.
And 3 months I'm going to have a child.
Yeah, you are.
And I was like, I've got so much time on my hands, and I don't. We rearranged our rooms. We're recording today from the nursery.
Yes.
Which used to be Nick's study, which is now a nursery, because we did a big shift on the weekend and moved all of our bedrooms around.
Nick looks a lot happier in his new environment.
He does look much happier with sunlight.
Yeah.
It's
if he was a baby, he wouldn't have developed his blue eyes.
No, I mean, definite eyes. Improvement. Yeah. Oh, I hope Nick has blue eyes. I hope our baby has blue eyes. That'd be nice.
What? Does your dad have brown?
Children? My dad has brown.
Yeah. So you must have a 50-50. So baby has a 50-50 chance.
Go, egg. Go.
Yes.
Yeah. Well, it's Christmas in no time.
It is.
It's Christmas.
Particularly by the time that people are listening to this.
Are you staying in Melbourne for Christmas?
I'm doing Christmas Eve here, and then on Christmas Day, I'm going up to
the country. You're traveling on Christmas Day?
Yeah, we don't generally do it, but this year we're doing Christmas Eve with my godfather and aunt.
And they're in Melbourne.
They're yes, and they're in Melbourne. So we're doing it with their kids and my parents, and my brothers are going to their in-laws Christmas Eve, and I think we'll all be together on Boxing Day.
Nice.
Yeah.
Hmm.
Very nice. Usually we do Christmas Eve as a fam. But for whatever reason, we're not doing it this year.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, my mum's not here for Christmas this year. She's gone on a cruise escape the world, which is very nice. And I'm jealous.
And she's taken Nonna.
She's taken Nonna with her. So we have no family Christmas on my mum's side.
Yeah.
So is it's that just
less
Nick's.
Stressful?
Well, I guess so. Now we only have Nick's parents.
Will you do
sort
something
of
with
see.
Your sister?
I do want to see my sister. So we'll probably just have Christmas lunch with Nick's family and then. I'll meet up with my sister at some point in the evening, probably.
Mm, nice.
But yeah, no, it's going to be pretty, chill. Nick's having hand surgery in 2 weeks, so he'll be in a cast like all over Christmas and New Year's. So it'll just be us getting baby ready. Really,
yeah, one hand baby ready.
The house is like kind of getting baby ready, and I've been on a humongous organization cleaning spree. Doing everything around this house. We've thrown out so much stuff. I've been trying to be really minimal and consciously minimalistic in my decision making, and a lot has been turfed.
So satisfying.
A lot of things that I was like holding on to. Oh, it looks great. Oh, yes. Thank you so much. Yeah, so much shit that I've been holding on to, sentimental value has.
Did the baby put things in perspective?
Trashed. Yeah, well, I realized how much is going to enter this house once he arrives.
Yeah.
And I'm like, there's going to be so much stuff.
Mm.
I've still got a bit to go.
So much time out.
Yeah.
Let's do it now.
So much to do too. We're going to have to retrain the cats not to sleep in our room. We've got to start doing that in the new year.
Yeah.
Stress. But anyway, it's going to be good.
It is going to be good.
And, we're going to do probably a couple of eps next year. We don't know what it's going to look like yet, but...
Because you're due at the end of March.
Yeah, at the end of March. Well, mid-March. My due date's been brought forth.
Oh, there you go.
To the 16th of March.
Baby,
I believe,
don't be born
something.
On my birthday. That's my birthday.
Yeah, it could be, you know.
It could be, yes.
It could be.
I was due around mid-March, but I was born quite a bit later than that.
Yeah, I was due early May and I was born like late May.
There you go. Mm.
I was 2 weeks late. I was just so happy in there.
Yeah.
Cooking away.
Yes.
I didn't want to come out. But anyway, so yes, we will see you in the new year in some capacity, even if it's just for one episode to be like, hello, we exist.
Maybe we'll do a 2-episode epilogue, just like your band.
Maybe. Mm. Yeah, except the pod's not dying.
Yes.
We're not quitting.
Going to hibernation.
Is this your way of telling me you quit?
I quit.
I quit the pod.
I'm assuming that we may not get an episode out around March, April,
No, we
May,
won't.
June.
No. No, not for a while. Anyway.
Until Babe can sit there in his baby chair.
Until he can edit the podcast for us.
Yeah, we'll see you in 16 years.
Anyway, as always, if you like what you hear, make sure you like and subscribe to our show and share our content wherever you can. Share with your family, share with your friends. It helps us out, helps us reach more people, and we're very appreciative of all, to all of you that do that on a weekly basis anyway. And yeah, thanks for listening to season 4.
Woo!
It's been a hoot.
It has been a hoot.
I've really enjoyed it.
Yes. And feel free to keep donating.
Yeah, feel free to keep giving us money.
Keep an eye out for random videos that we might release in the interim.
Yes. Anyway, all right. Much love to all of you. Merry Christmas. Stay safe. Happy holidays. Merry New Year.
Happy Hanukkah.
Happy holidays. Yes, happy whatever you celebrate around this time of year or don't celebrate. Have a nice break.
Yes.
If you haven't given yourself a break in a while, do it.
This is a reminder from the universe.
You deserve it. It's a reminder to take a break and drink some water.
Take a break, Mel.
All right. Bye, everybody. See ya star forever.